Casino. Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus. Moto Casino. America's social casino. Download the Moto Casino app today.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my
Welcome
chest
back
like
to
a
hour two of the show. Theodore. I want to remind you, we got coverage of the draft tonight. Every first-round pick, you can hear it here on ESPN 97.5, and then on Friday, we'll have a local show about a pro football team. If you keep wondering why I just don't say an NFL draft show, I can't. It's not allowed. The NFL wouldn't allow it. So it's a pro football show, talking about taking players, young players, and putting them on teams. That's what we're doing. It'll be Joe, me, and Paul Gallant, and others. I don't know who this the others are. It's just stayed, and others. I'm not sure who else they're roping into this particular show. I know, I think Austin will be running the draft show, I think.
I'm pretty sure it's Austin.
Yeah, but I don't know who else will be under others. But we'll have that for you.
Might get a call in from Jeremy. I don't know.
Maybe. Maybe. Just be. There'll be surprises. That's all we're saying. So stay tuned throughout the next, I don't know, 30 hours or so. As we, well, I mean, you don't have to listen overnight, I guess, if you don't want. But we'll have draft coverage for the next couple of days.
And not the NFL, ESPN has a helpful countdown to the NFL draft, which, by the way, they started on, like, Tuesday.
Yeah, countdown to the draft.
Way too high of an hour. It was, like, 75 hours until the draft. I'm like, that you should have started the countdown 36.
Yeah.
Anyway, or maybe 48. So we're 7 hours, 53 minutes from the start of round one.
Start of the Bears wasting our time.
Yeah, so just add like 23 hours to that. So yeah, 30 hours.
Okay. We would love for you to listen for all 30 hours, but if you want to take a nap, go to sleep, we understand. But when we're on talking about the draft, we want you there for that. Will the Bears, and Peter, I see you, I'll get to you here. Will the Bears take all the time, or will they just do us a favor and get it going?
I don't know if it's a Bears thing or
an NFL thing.
I think it's an NFL thing.
They want this to happen.
Yeah, and there is a certain point of like you want to, because that's the start of the show.
True.
That you want some like, okay, now we go to Daniel Jeremiah for his, you know, two and a half minute breakdown.
But they're going to have all this time after the pick to talk about Caleb Williams. Why do we need to talk about him before for 10 minutes before the pick
is
in?
Set the scene, you know?
It's not like the draft. Like, their show comes on, and the draft doesn't immediately start. They have a couple minutes, and then Roger will walk to the podium and then say, start of the Bears on the clock, all that crap that they do.
Yeah, and then you have to go, like, an historic moment for this franchise, you know, perhaps the first time they get a franchise player. You know, the Bears not only have never had a 4,000-yard passer, they've never had a 30-touchdown pass thrower. Not insane that Caleb Williams does that the first year. Like, it would be wild. But he actually doesn't have to break any records to do that.
Yeah, I mean, their touchdown passes were lower than we were used to last year. I think Dak led with about 36 or so. Even the best quarterbacks didn't get the 30. But to your point, yeah.
Like, Justin Herbert threw, like, 4,400 yards his rookie year and was, like, a good rookie year.
Yes. The Bears have been dealing with bad quarterback play for years. They're still lauding Jim McMahon for handing off to Walter Payton and watching the defense go to work. Like, Jay Cutler is one of their leaders.
Jay Cutler is like, you can't have the best Bear quarterback of all time without mentioning Jay Cutler's name, and that's a problem.
Yes. The Bears will have the first overall pick. The pick will be Caleb Williams, and then all the judging that has already started on him will begin in earnest when he actually puts on an NFL uniform. But Peter wants to talk about the Astros, who at this point are in contention for the first pick in the MLB draft, which is a crazy thing to think about. What's up, Peter?
Good morning, Jive Turkeys. Okay. Man, it is so rough being an Astros fan right now. I hope they can turn it around.
All right,
what's
Ryan,
your over
Ryan, go ahead.
Danielle Harris being the only favorite.
Yeah, I cut you off, Harris, Peter. Who was it? Who were you saying again, Ryan? Did you say Danielle Harris? What did you say?
I think Danielle Harris. I didn't.
Not the recent Texas acquisition.
No,
he's not confusing that person, right?
Maybe it's Danielle.
Danielle is, I think, an actress who was like on One Tree Hill at one point. I think that's what he's talking about. She's married to she's married to Jensen Ackles, who was on another WB show or CW show. What the hell's the name of that show? She's married to him, so I'm going to say no. That guy is.
She was in the Halloween movies.
Yes, One Tree Hill, as I mentioned, Supernatural. Supernatural's the name of the show. I guess that's where she met her husband. That show went for like 16 seasons, 17 seasons on the CW. Now, I know it's CW money, but those guys, the stars of the show, like became executive producers, so they get more money. No for you, Ryan, once again. I'm going to put that under 3% because even if they got divorced, I'm sure there's a prenup, but she's still going to get paid. So, you picked the wrong one. Sorry.
I feel like he's getting closer, though.
Yes, he's moving down list from A-list to now she was a star of a CW show.
20 years ago.
Yes.
So it's like, okay, but maybe.
As I said, the problem for him is she married a very successful man. Now, that doesn't always preclude you from joining the OnlyFans community, yeah. I guess.
Maybe he has a gambling addiction.
You never know.
We can't know.
You never know. But at this point, the 45-year-old from Lafayette, Louisiana, seems like a poor choice for you.
You said that like she's a draft prospect.
That's what I did. That's what I'm doing. That's what I did. I know what I did. I did that on purpose.
Do we have her height in 40 times?
I don't know. She's actually, from what I could tell, who knows, but she seemed like in that 5'10", 5'11 range.
Oh, wow.
I don't know what her 40 time is.
Long arms, good on, can set the edge.
She played a cheerleader on One Tree Hill, so a little athletic. So we like that in our potential OnlyFans models, I guess.
We do like that. We
yes.
do like
but
that.
She appears to be in a very committed and loving relationship. I don't know. I just know that they're still married.
It appears to be a marriage. We don't know about committed, loving relationship.
We know about draft speculation. This is OnlyFans speculation. This is all this is. I'm going to say she shouldn't be your top choice. She's going to fall down your OnlyFans draft board.
J.J. McCarthy?
Looks like he's rising for whatever reason.
Is she the Bo Nix of?
She's the Michael Penix.
Oh, what? Injury red flags?
She's 45.
Wow. And cheerleader. Tough on the joints.
Yes. You never know how watching the stunt double do all the work has affected her joints. Yeah. You know.
I forgot for a second that she wasn't actually a cheerleader.
She was just an actress.
Wait, do they? I guess that. Yeah.
Well, I don't know if they were even doing flips. I'm sure they're just doing dance.
I'm
moves.
Sure.
So
they're
she probably
doing the pom pom.
Yeah. So
let's go, team.
It wasn't competitive cheerleading. Like they sent all those girls down to Orlando for those things. She was just doing the whole high school cheerleader thing. But Ryan, I appreciate you for modifying your choices.
He's honing in.
Yes.
There's a yes around the corner.
At some point. But right now, we're still going to go no. He picked a woman who I won't say married well, married for love. And it turns out her husband has been very successful in the aftermath of their marriage.
Good save.
Yes.
I feel like there's going to be one where when we Google her, we're going to find out she actually has an OnlyFans.
He's going to get there at some point.
Just like numbers-wise, we're going to get there.
But I do love that all he's doing is picking – well, Dakota Fanning's younger. She's in her early 30s, maybe just 30 years old. But for the most part, he's picked woman he fantasized over when he was a kid and they were in their mid-20s, early 30s. I don't know if he's kept track of them since.
Yeah.
But the girls who are on his screensaver are now the girls he's bringing to the conversation.
I feel like we're a couple maybe a couple weeks away from like Minka Kelly getting a mention.
And I'm going to tell you, Ryan, I understand it, but that's a zero for you. Again, I get it.
Like, he's just going to work through all the TV shows that were on in that era with a 20-year-old.
Yeah, he's going to go Friday Night Lights. I'm sure Gossip Girl will come up at some point from him.
Smallville, since he's on a CW camp now.
Allison Mack may have to at some point. She may be the one,
Ryan. That might be a 30%.
Yeah, she may be the one after her have her legal issues. Okay, when we come back, certainly we appreciate the distraction from Peter or Ryan. What I do notice about this show, which I welcome, all the Astro calls are just a pretext for them getting into whatever nonsense they want to get into. It's never about the actual team, which I appreciate, because who wants to talk about how terrible they are? So, and we'll see if it gets better today. Justin Verlander on the mound. So we will get to that Andy Staples list, top 10 list of best high school football highlights. And there may be a couple of surprising names on the list. Maybe some guys you didn't even know played football in high school. We'll see. We'll talk about that when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Welcome back. We in the break are now looking up potential women that Ryan can come up with next. And somehow we settled on the girls from Friday Night Lights.
It's just easy to go with the cast and yes. Work your way down.
Yes. And the women on that show are still active and working, so Ryan might have to switch it up to a different show if that was his next target. Now, before we went to break, I mentioned Andy Staples. He worked for On3. He used to work for The Athletic. Writes articles. I think he was on one of the Florida Gators national title teams as a walk-on offensive lineman. So as you might imagine, college football is in his blood. He likes to talk about it. That's where he makes his money. He put out a list of the top 10 high school highlights for people who went on to great success, maybe in college football.
Most of them did go on to great success.
Yeah, you got great highlights. There's a chance. And some of the guys, you know, went on to play a different sport. Other than college football, there's one on the list that a lot of you probably know. But Sean brought the list to the table, and he has a top 10. He mentioned some of the names. If you go through that list, which is the most surprising to be on the list, do you think?
Do you want me just to say the most surprising one?
Yeah. What do you? Because I haven't seen the list. I'm going off. I just want to be surprised too, I guess. Who's the most surprising guy now that you look at the list? Whose clips make it?
John Elway.
Really?
Yes, because the clip starts with a 1979 high school.
Well, that would do it.
High school game.
That would do it.
And so that to me is just surprising because and maybe this is my bias as a 28 year old now. Where I just think of guys from like the 2000s. It's crazy to me that John Elway had a high, was it on VHS? Like, yeah, how did
there was no huddle.
Yeah.
How did that thing get saved?
It on YouTube.
Yeah, I guess maybe the Stanford recruiting department kept it or his family did, and now it's out there for people to see.
It's like newsreel footage.
Yeah, who saved the John Elway high school highlights?
I will say all these highlight tapes just like going, because they attach a video to these. All of them are like over 5 minutes, and a lot of them are over 10 minutes long. John Elway's is 74 seconds, so it's a little over a minute. So that's not a deep tape.
Even when he was young, like he was mobile, but he didn't run cool. Like I remember John Elway, no. And it always looked like he was struggling to run, even as a younger guy. But yeah, we all know he could move.
It's a lot of arm strength on this.
Yeah, I would imagine. So John Elway is on this. Where does he come up?
He is number 7.
So he's number 7. Who's number 10?
10, Kyler Murray.
Yeah, Kyler was big time.
True.
At Allen. Yeah. He was big time.
That one, no notes. Undefeated.
Undefeated as a high school quarterback. Yeah.
Just a winner.
Yeah.
You know, just a winner.
Yeah.
Kyler Murray. Like J.J. McCarthy. J.J. McCarthy before
J.J. Can you think of that being his label? Kyler Murray, just a winner.
I mean, he did.
No, I know, but think of him now. No one would put that label on him now.
I know. That's why it's funny when J.J. McCarthy gets hit with it for handing off to Blake Corum.
Yeah.
he just wins.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like Kyler Murray literally never lost.
He never lost, and we saw how that played out.
Number 9, Allen Iverson.
Yeah, Allen Iverson was nasty as a high school quarterback. He came from that area where if Virginia Tech could have convinced him to play quarterback, he probably would have gone there, because I remember I saw a documentary about him, and the talk was about how Virginia Tech was the school where it was cool for black quarterbacks to go to and just black players in general. Virginia didn't have that type of cachet, even though they were the more established ACC school. And, you know, we all know Virginia Tech has a history of black quarterbacks playing and playing well there. So I'm not surprised. He's from the Newport News area. Yeah. So, and but we know he went to go on to Georgetown, and it worked out for him until Philly embarrassed him with that statue. But everything.
wait, it went well for him until last week or 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, I assume things are still going well for him overall, but that was a moment.
We're just catching him at a bad
yeah,
time. Yeah, I got you.
And we really blame the Sixers more than we do Allen Iverson for that.
Number eight, Derrick Henry.
From what was it?
Yule
yeah. or Yule. Florida, went to go on to Alabama. Yeah, he was a giant man even in high school.
Yep. That's one of the good archetypes, because these, you'll realize, kind of fit into different archetypes. This is just like man playing against boys.
Yeah.
Where he's also 16 years old, but he's built like Derrick Henry.
Trust, the whole tossing safeties aside, didn't begin in the NFL. He was... You can't imagine some 5'8 kid who's just out there because, you know.
He has chemistry homework
to do. What else am I going to do on a Friday night in a small town but play football? I'm getting run over by a future NFL Hall of Famer. Well, maybe Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Possibly.
We'll see. So, number seven, like we mentioned, John Elway. Number six, Tavon Austin.
I would think Noel Devine, another West Virginia guy, would be on the list. Maybe he will be. We'll see. Tavon Austin, yeah. I mean, he was nasty, but, you know, he was small. Didn't really translate to the college level. I mean, the high school level. Not, damn it. The pro level.
He was definitely translate to the high school.
Yeah, high school certainly, and college
as
well.
This 11-minute video tells me.
Yeah. He was making college guys look foolish. So, yeah, he was definitely going to do that to high school kids. He was part of, when West Virginia was rolling, they would get smaller offensive players who people thought wouldn't fit, and Rich Rodriguez and that system made them fit. And, you know, the Pat White era when they were one dumb loss to Pittsburgh away from playing in a national title game, and somehow LSU got there because of it, and they were the two-loss champion.
Number five, Houston's own Vince Young.
Yeah, man.
See, these are like our wheelhouse.
These guys are the guys we remember growing
up
watching.
That's why John Elway sticks out. It's like,
yeah, well, the grainy footage. Who's he playing against? And mostly the thing is the helmets. Watching John Elway play against those helmets and what they look
and
like.
And the pads.
Yeah, the pads are giant.
The pads are crazy.
Yes. So Vince Young at five. We all know his history. We just talked about him, how Sean can't let go that he didn't win a Heisman. That now is back in Reggie Bush's house.
Yeah.
The house that some booster paid for. Not this current house.
No, this is the house that Big Noon Saturday paid for.
Definitely.
Number four, Sam McGuffey.
Jumping over people. That's what I remember about Sam McGuffey.
He is second to John Elway, the most surprising name on this list.
But the highlights were crazy, man.
No, but
it got him to Michigan. He came back and played at Rice, but he was at Michigan because of what he was as a prospect.
Yeah, it's one of those where the name value isn't the same as all these other guys who went on to play in the NFL.
Yeah.
But you see the highlights, you're like, I get why this is on the list.
He was Will Shipley before Will Shipley.
Will Shipley wishes.
Those highlights.
Wishes those Sam McGuffey. He's Christian McCaffrey.
Oh, that's a nice one. Nice comp.
Yeah.
Not for Christian McCaffrey. He's like, wait a minute. Why are you comparing me to Sam McGuffey? But for Sam McGuffey, it is.
And he's just two white guys with Mick as their name.
Yeah, and Sam McGuffey wore the number five in high school.
I'm just saying.
There it is.
Who influenced who?
Well, it has to be Sam came first. Do you think?
Yes. Maybe Christian McCaffrey. Like, if you ask Christian McCaffrey who his favorite football player of all time was.
Do you think he avoids it because he doesn't want to go, like another white running back? You think he never mentioned Sam McGuffey? But he was out. He had to have known about Sam McGuffey. Sam McGuffey's only 34 years old.
Same age as Amy Teagard.
Well, maybe they're dating. we know that he had to have known about him.
Because
when McCaffrey was growing up, Sam McGuffey was
doing the thing. 27?
Yeah, he was around there as a kid. Yeah. He would have known of him. So maybe you're right.
I wasn't a white running back, and I knew about Sam.
Do you
McGuffey.
Think he picked the number five because of Sam McGuffey?
I'm just saying the signs are there. Number three on the list, Noel Devine.
That's the guy I remember.
Yeah.
If Reggie Bush isn't on this list, Noel Devine's high school highlights were the best I've ever seen. out of South Florida. Like I said, one of the smaller guys who people questioned about whether he could play at the college level. He certainly could. He went to a great system. Didn't have any pro success because he's a little guy. But playing in that spread offense for Rich Rod with Patrick White, or Pat White, his name. He was never Patrick White. I'm thinking of Patrick Mahomes now. Pat White. He was a big-time player. And like I said, he was part of those West Virginia teams who probably should have at least got to a title game.
Number two on the list, and I would assume the reason for the season, Reggie Bush.
Out of San Diego, he not only was the guy everyone wanted to be when I was in high school, just remembering his highlights, he was the guy everyone wanted to be in college. You played with USC on college football games just to be Reggie Bush. You just gave him the football, split him out. You know, he was on the cover of one of the games. When I was a kid, he was probably the coolest football player I could remember. I wasn't a USC fan, but he was that dude. He was a superstar, and all the LA stuff that came with it, playing for USC, playing for a school who welcomed Hollywood stars onto the practice field, all of that put together, probably, at least for me, the coolest college football player I ever remember.
Number one on this list, and agreed on all accounts with Reggie Bush, except for one account.
Yeah, should have won. Yeah, that Heisman. Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Only one ring, loser.
greatest football team ever until they saw Texas.
You said it, not me. Number one on Andy Staples' list of best high school football highlights, Houston Texans' own Jadeveon Clowney.
Get out of here.
Great highlights.
Now, I know.
Great highlights.
I know, but I'm not.
He was a running back.
Not better than Reggie Bush.
He was a running back.
I don't care what Andy Staples says. Not better than Reggie Bush.
He deletes people.
That's
quarterbacks.
Some Southeast bias nonsense from Andy Staples.
These quarterbacks are getting murdered. These 10th grade quarterbacks.
So some overweight, undersized offensive tackle can't block Jadeveon Clowney.
Three of them can't.
I know.
Judging
that's,
by this.
That's nonsense. Stop it. Look, Reggie Bush, great player, supremely athletic, but he didn't have like a size advantage over everyone out there. Jadeveon Clowney did. He was a freak of nature, certainly in high school, from an athletic standpoint and a stature standpoint. Do you see some of the tackles who are trying to block him? Man, if Staples don't get out of here with that.
Okay, one of them, I will say, was just a bad snap that Jadeveon Clowney just beats the quarterback to the bad snap and scores a touchdown.
Come on, man. Where is he from? South Carolina?
Yes, he was from South Carolina.
I'm going to say the football in Southern California, a higher quality than the football in South Carolina, considering just by all the prospects in Southern California who go to college football. South Carolina's not bad, but Southern California much better. Andy Staples, SEC bias. I know what you're doing. You don't fool me. You can't give it to the defensive end who's just bigger than all the people he's going up against.
I was
going to
say that is one of the archetypes of this. There's basically two or maybe three. There's the awesome quarterback who just can make insane throws, and normally they can also run a little bit too.
Yeah.
And then there's the small guy who just is way faster than everyone, and the angles that these high school safeties take look ridiculous. Because
do some geometry. Apparently you're missing that class.
Yeah. Because they're taking angles that it's like, yeah, if we both run like 5.140s, I can catch them.
Sure.
And it's like, actually, this guy is a full like second faster than that.
You better take a different angle pursuit.
Yeah. And then the other one is just grown man versus
what
kids.
What are we talking about?
I mean,
he was a great player.
It should be top five. I'll say it should be top five. One's aggressive.
Yeah, I know he's a top five talent. And I mean, Jadeveon Clowney, despite having a long career, probably hasn't lived up to the promise we saw at South Carolina and in high school. But we see high school offensive linemen. It's very rare that he ever went up against another pro prospect in regular high school games. He only saw those guys at camps in the high school American games.
He had a high school teammate who went on to play in the NFL. Do you know who it was?
Nope.
Stephon Gilmore.
You imagine
they're
that?
They're running out there with
What did Gilmore ever do in high school? Who got a pass off?
I imagine he played more receivers.
Yeah. At corner, how was he ever tested? Jadeveon took a snap off, and then hey, Clowney, Gilmore needs some tape.
Yeah, right? Sit We're trying to get both of y'all to South Carolina.
Sit your ass down for a couple plays.
Spurrier wants to see him, too, all right?
So at least this guy can get a couple throws off, and Gilmore can take it back for a pick six. So,
do you have any others receiving votes?
I'm trying to think of guys.
Maybe we can get back to it after.
Yeah, Devin Hester. Devin Hester. I'm going back to my bias. Devin Hester is really good in high school, too. He was a big-time player in high school, as you might imagine. He went to Miami when Miami was good. So he was.
Hey, they still get big-time high school players.
Doesn't translate. Shout out to Mario Cristobal for that. And others. He's not the first. Probably won't be the last. But Devin Hester. He was a great, great high school player in the highlight tape matches. We got a couple more segments to go. If you want to call in, 713-780-3776. We will get to some sound from Ime Udoka on Space City's home network. They're doing their year in review, and he has some thoughts on Amen Thompson and what he did last year, who I have some questions about what he'll be for the Rockets. We'll hear from Ime Udoka when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
You're back inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios with Del Olalea. I mean, you're not actually in the studio, but if you watch ESPN Houston's YouTube channel, it's kind of like you are. No, not really.
Welcome back. That's Michael Carroll. You'll hear him tomorrow on the show. He always joins us to give us the latest in what you should or shouldn't watch. Sean, you weren't here, but he told us that we shouldn't watch if you have anything better to do. You shouldn't watch the sequel to Rebel Moon that came out last week, a Zack Snyder movie. I haven't watched it yet, Scargiver. Michael Carroll said, nah, not up to snuff.
In general, I'm good on Zack Snyder.
I kind of am, too.
I'm good. No thanks.
I mean, I will watch things just to be aware of stuff, but I'm not rushing to see any Zack Snyder things. Usually I would just watch it on a lazy Friday, but Michael Carroll's word stuck with me. So at some point I might get to it, but it'll have to wait. So we'll talk to Michael Carroll about maybe some good stuff to watch when he's on tomorrow. I mentioned before we got to a break that it's the end of the year review for the Rockets. Vanessa Richardson, who used to do a show with Paul here on the station, she now works for Space City Home Network, and she's talking to the likes of Ime Udoka and Rafael Stone about the season that was and what's to come. And certainly there were questions about Shingun and Jalen Green playing together. And we'll get to some Bobby Marks stuff here too, because Bobby Marks talked about a potential contract for Jalen Green and what he would and would not do. But Vanessa Richardson asked Ime Udoka about Amon Thompson, who was a good rookie for the Rockets. When Shingun got hurt, he was in the starting lineup. He was put into the starting lineup and came through. Is one of those guys who you expect with a bigger role will get better and better, certainly if the shooting improves from distance. He raises his level as far as what he can become. Is he going to be a point guard? Will he be a three? I don't know that yet, but here is Ime Udoka on Amen Thompson's year.
He has this understanding of how to impact the game without the ball in his hands. I mean, he's a guy that fastest guy in the gym, probably most athletic guy in the gym throughout his life, and he has a really good feel for the game as far as a point guard and passing ability. And so for him, it was, yeah, you're starting now, Alpi's out, and how can you do some things when you don't have the ball in your hands? So even before Alpi went out, you know, playing in the dunker spot, obviously his athleticism, his size down there, he was working well off Alpi. Alpi goes out, and now he's setting more screens and doing some different things than he's ever had to do in his life. And so for him, he took every challenge, accepted it. You know, he was a sponge trying to learn as he went. And I think the biggest sign of growth is that it took him one or two times to do something for the first time, and he was on to the next. And so those things will all just add to his repertoire going forward. I mean, he's great with the ball in his hands. We want him to push every opportunity he gets off the glass. But when he can get on the glass, offensive rebounds, he can impact the game as a screener and all the other things. I think it'll just open up his whole game going forward.
That's Rockets head coach, not Rafael Stone, Ime Udoka on Amen Thompson. His developmental track is going to be, at least to me, an interesting one, because he was looked at as the point guard of the future. And, of course, you pay a lot of money for Fred VanVleet to be maybe a guy who is the stopgap. That's a lot of money for a stopgap, but a stopgap until you're settled in the backcourt. And is Amen Thompson a guy? Is that his role? Is he some proto Herb Jones where he's a defender and a wing, and if he can get his three-point shooting to the point where he isn't a guy you can sag off on, can he be a spacer? Is he destined to be a 3-and-D guy, or all the pre-draft thoughts in him something that'll come true eventually when he can take over the point guard role? Because he is, as we heard Ime Udoka talk about, he can get a rebound and push the ball. Is he going to be a guy who can run an offense in the half court? Is he going to be one of those types who people sag off until he proves he can shoot? One of the more recent guys to come to mind when he was in his prime was Rajon Rondo. Certainly, Amen Thompson, smaller, more athletic, will be a bigger impact on the defensive side, although Rondo was a good defender, just that Amen Thompson can guard multiple positions. His development, while you're paying a guy like Fred VanVleet that type of money, is something to see. Does he become your clear backup point guard, second ball handler, or primary ball handler when Fred VanVleet's off the floor? Will that remain in Jalen Green's hand? Will Alpi be more of a hub when you don't have a starting point guard, at least a traditional starting point guard like Fred VanVleet? And starting point guard traditional, that can mean anything now. But when your $40 million man's off the floor, who's the guy they're going to depend on, particularly when you have Jalen Green as an initiator? So all in all, a really good year for Amen Thompson, particularly he took off late, or at least in the back half of the season. And his future is one I am definitely interested in. I gave him a Sean Marion comparison earlier because of what his role was after Alpi got hurt. But I do think he has the most potential if we're talking about star-level potential as a big guard who, at the point guard position, who can guard multiple positions and be a creator. We just got to work on the shooting.
Yeah, to me, he's like I think supersized Rondo is a pretty good one. It's also with just how, honestly, how bad his shooting is. Reminds me of back when Ben Simmons played basketball.
See, I don't want to give him the Ben Simmons
no,
one.
No, but you have to be specific with it.
It's I know what you're saying.
It's Ben Simmons back when he played basketball. Like prime Ben Simmons. But he also can, like Ime says in that clip, can't play without the ball, which is something prime Ben Simmons can never do.
Nope.
And he is someone who also doesn't have to have the ball in his hands. He's someone who is willing to do the dirty work and stuff like that. Some more big man stuff, which, I mean, we've brought it up as it was happening in March and April, that he was basically playing power forward on defense and center on offense, and that's something that even Ben Simmons never did. He had to play point guard on offense. The problem was you could never run pick and roll with him because who the hell's going to guard him? Like, that you just sag off of him way off, and he's not going to shoot it in. If he did, he wasn't going to make you pay. That's just something where if Amen Thompson can get to, like, passable shooting off the dribble, then he can be the point guard, like, without a question.
Yeah.
He can be, like, an all-star.
Yeah, and you talk about the pick and roll and the positions he played this year. The fact that he isn't terrible from the free throw line is another separator for him and Ben Simmons.
Yeah.
Ben Simmons didn't ever want to shoot the basketball, didn't want to be in positions to shoot the basketball around in the lane because he knew he'd get fouled and he didn't want to go to the line.
And him being a decent free throw shooter speaks to some level of like, okay.
Yeah, you think he can work with something.
Yeah, you can scale it. The guys that come into the league just terrible free throw shooters and can't shoot from outside, chances are they don't really – there's not as much there to improve on when it comes to like the 3-point shooting, just because, you know, if they had solid fundamentals, you think they'd make free throws. And so it speaks to either a larger issue or a larger overhaul, which Amen Thompson has a little bit of that, but there is something there with the fact he's not an absolute disaster from the line like Ben Simmons, and like you mentioned too, isn't scared to take them.
Because
most of Ben Simmons' problems are just like
mental.
Yes. And Amen Thompson is like the opposite of that.
Yeah,
his positives are mental.
Yeah, the scars that Ben Simmons has developed since he's been in the NBA don't exist on Amen Thompson. We have to hope that continues. And his future going forward, I love. One thing you will credit Rafael Stone with. Now, he certainly needs, at least he'll have to answer some questions, needs to answer some questions about roster construction going forward. We've talked about it on this show, how those decisions, and he said it himself, don't have to be made right now. They eventually will have to be made, but he's put himself in a position where there are questions about good players. What their potential is overall, that's to be decided, but he's not drafting bust. He's drafting guys that on some level will be real contributors on an NBA team. And we saw, at least this year, they can be contributors on a team that's competitive. And I think I've talked about it here before. The net rating suggests the Rockets should have been a play-in team. They tricked off some games, which cost them that opportunity despite their big run to end the year, particularly in the month of March. So, Amen Thompson, positive future. We'll see what he is and what the Rockets' plan for him is. And some of it might have to do with the guy we're going to have a conversation with next. Because the numbers say he would be in line for a big deal if the Rockets wanted to give it to him. There's an NBA insider, at least a guy who you have heard of on ESPN, who would tell you that would be a bad decision. We'll hear that sound coming back, and then we'll wrap up the show.
ESPN 97.5.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
We're short on time, and Gallant and George are up next. And then the Killer Bees follow them, and then it'll be the NFL Draft here on ESPN 97.5. So stay tuned all day. We'll lead up to the draft, and then you can listen to the picks as they come through if you're out and about or you're at home on the stream. But before we got to that, I did want to get to the sound from Bobby Marks. Bobby Marks is a guy you're going to see on ESPN throughout the draft process. Well, more likely free agency. He's our numbers guy. We have Lance. They have Bobby Marks. Who's better? You decide.
Off season is Bobby Marks.
It is his time. It is his time to shine. He comes on. He breaks down cap numbers and what a trade might mean and how guys would fit onto a roster. You see him. He's got that little board up there, and he taps a board, moves a guy around. That's what he does. And he also does this. He does his off-season prospectus for teams and what they need to do and what they could do and what they shouldn't do. And he did the Rockets, and he spoke about potential contracts to be given out. And this is what he said he would do when given the proposition of paying Jalen Green a lot of money.
Giving him a $225 million max extension check. 5 years, 160. That's fair. More than Devin Vassell, certainly fair. Better player, better, probably upside is higher, closer to an all-star here.
So he's not against giving Jalen Green a big bag, just not the max bag. He goes, that's a step too far. We will see as things play out, and as we've talked about quite a bit here, plenty of time. We will see if that comes to fruition where the Rockets are making a decision this offseason, which this show would say, wait, just wait on both. You don't have to pay Alpi or Jalen Green.
Well, wait on the max if he wants to sign.
Well, you would give him a bag, the type of bag Bobby Marks talk about now, or would you wait another year?
Like the Devin Vassell bag?
Yeah.
That we're talking about, like $30 million a year?
Yeah, that bag.
Yeah.
So you are fine locking in with Jalen Green for, I guess, 4 or 5 more years.
Yeah, for 30. not for 40. 50,
Yeah, he actually, he could, well, that number, whatever. He would have to reach certain things. But
yeah, I think it's the, isn't it the Rose rule where it's like if he's like on an all-NBA team,
he can get up to like 52 annual average salary.
Hey, if he wants to make an all-NBA team, I won't stop.
If you want to do that, dude, we can have the conversation about you getting a max deal. Alpi can get there. His number, because of his draft status, would be about 45. But they'd have to reach certain things, which seem unlikely right now. But you never know. Maybe a breakout, a bigger breakout year is coming for both of them. And certainly, Alper Şengün did enough to be part of the most improved conversation. So I am not particularly against solidifying those two as players going forward. But, you know, it's that all-important team-friendly deal. And who knows if those two are interested in any of that. The likelihood is we're talking about this next offseason. Unless there is a giant jump from one of them again, at least in Alperen's case, and just a giant jump for Jalen Green in the early stages of next season, and then maybe we're having a real conversation and on a day where there's nothing to talk about, and then we hear about a max extension, and Sean can hit the Lance horn to let us know. But that's down the line. Coming up for us is the NFL draft. Sean, you will be done with your work day. Are you a I don't know if I've asked you. Are you a guy who watches the first round? Did you tell me you're like kind of a passive guy? Or are you watching the entire thing?
I watch, but it is something where it's like, cool, I can kind of put this on a, you know, second screen. I can put this on my laptop while I watch something else.
Yeah.
When the Astros are good, normally the Astros, we'll see. We'll see if they graduate to that. We'll see if they give up 7 earned runs before the third pick. I was telling you that I don't care about it getting spoiled. Just tell me.
Oh, yeah, you did tell me that. Just tell me the picks. Yeah.
I don't care.
Yeah, you did tell me that. And maybe you'll get it won't be a doubleheader because there will be plenty of time, but the Astros game, the first pitch is at 1:20. They play the Cubs, Verlander on the mound trying to avoid the sweep.
Good. So there's no chance that they give up a million runs right as the draft started.
No.
Okay.
It might come way before then.
Okay.
In like the sixth inning, if Dubin's out there, who knows? I shouldn't slander him. He was okay yesterday, but he hasn't been okay.
I think everyone can get slandered. Honestly.
That's true. The Astros are a team where they're not immune to slander at this point, unless your name is Altuve. You're a legend. I'm not going to take any shots at you.
Yes. Yeah. Other than Altuve, guilty by association.
Yes. You wear that Astros uniform, you get slandered. Which kind of has been the case for those guys for years, but not locally. Now we're going to slander them.
Well, because the national one, it's, you know, you're bad guys. Locally, it's just you're bad players.
Yeah, you guys suck now.
we have no, especially you spoil a franchise the way the Astros fan base has been spoiled.
Yeah.
And now it's like, okay, dude. Like,
and I would imagine
you're going to catch it.
And I would imagine the Astros would take you guys are bad guys from uninformed national media members or national fans as opposed to what's going on now when their entire fan base is like, why do you guys suck so bad?
Yeah, now this fan base has standards.
And now the slander is justified.
Yeah, that too.
Because cheating in baseball, whatever, everyone does it. But now we're watching an on-field product that depresses us and has led me to compare them to a movie where a guy dies over and over before he figures it out. If you missed it, the Astros are at this point Edge of Tomorrow. Just Tom Cruise dying over and over again at the hands of metallic machines or aliens until he finally figured it out.
And it's pretty much the same way every time.
Yes. Yes. Except the time he got rolled over by a truck.
Yeah. Actually, there was more variety in the way that Tom Cruise died.
Than the way the Astros lose.
Yeah. There's like three different ones.
Yes.
Can't wait for first pitch.
It's a great experience to watch the Astros play baseball right now. Coming up next, Gallant and George are going to be out at Spanish Flower. The Killer Bees will be out there too. Go out and join them. Enjoy yourself as the draft is mere 7 hours away. They'll get you ready. They'll talk about the Astros too. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
ESPN 97.5.
Moro Casino. America's Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.